questions that could reveal your purpose in life? What if there were questions that could surface the change most meaningful to you? And what if answering those questions would give you the power to ignite? Welcome to the Illumify Game Changer podcast. These are big conversations that lead to self-discovery. Together, let's embark on the leader's journey and ignite meaningful change. In the last episode, Jonathan answered the final question in the collection of 57 cards within the Illumify Game Changer. He's completed all three movements in Illumify now: Illuminate, Amplify, and Unify. He's illuminated his vision of meaningful change, amplified it so that it matters to those who can help him realize it, and he can unify them in thought and action so they act in alignment to ignite the change. It's a lot. Not only the hundreds of hours of conversation spent in digging, surfacing, and expressing, but now he has a big vision to ignite. After finishing the final question, I gave Jonathan a week to reflect and restore before meeting again. In this conversation, he looks back on his Illumify Game Changer experience and ahead to what's next. Jonathan, you finished the Illumify Game Changer last week after maybe countless conversations, hopefully almost equal number of insights. Can you share with us how the experience has been for you, what your perception might have been coming in, and what you actually experienced?
I'm going to start with the process itself, the game changer itself. I knew very little, and I think we had both. I think we'd both agreed without really saying anything. I certainly sensed that it was perhaps better not to know too much, because I sensed from what you had told me that the idea of jumping into it and, as the guidelines say, answering from the heart, I sensed that that was the sort of conversation that it was going to be. So I didn't know too much. I knew, I suppose, the most mysterious fact that we had 57 cards.
And you weren't daunted by that.
Well, I was. I'll be honest. I thought, what would need 57 cards? Just even though I knew nothing, the number itself seemed high. And I confess that perhaps at the end of London, where we had established the vision and had got to the end of Illuminate, the first phase, I was perhaps still a little concerned about the sheer number of cards. But as we went further on, and certainly through Amplify, I really started to feel more clearly why we needed all of these questions. And by the end of Amplify, I was utterly convinced that we did need all of those questions, and very demanding questions, in the Amplify question, in the Amplify phase. So I never doubted the logic and the rigor of the process at all, because I had listened to you talk about it, and you and I had met a few times before that, and my trust in you was 100%. So I just had this one doubt about the length, but then as we went through it, it gradually faded away. And it, as I say, particularly in the Amplify phase, I really started to see why all of these questions were necessary. So that's on the process.
Can I add that that's interesting? So first of all, thank you for your trust. That means a lot to me. You did make a quantum leap coming into this, and a huge commitment. So I know that was based on your trust rather than fully being aware or understanding of the process. With respect to Amplify, I find that's really interesting, because There are actually more questions in Amplify than in Illuminate or Unify. And that's because they need to be there. And they're meant to, first of all, ensure that you can make what you surface, your meaningful change that you revealed, meaningful to others. And way too often, in fact, I would say it's normally the case that when something matters to someone, they just assume it matters to those who could possibly help them. And they jump to, let's do this. They jump to what I call unify. Let's do this by then, the what by when. And they've missed all of those essential questions to ensure that you really are taking in and getting to know the interests, the concerns, the values, the beliefs, and much more, the culture, etc., of the awareness, the understanding of those you're going to speak to. And if that were done on a basic level in any communication, and I'm thinking of, you know, a managerial leader speaking to her team, that's often the piece that's missed. So I'm glad that you recognize that, especially as a professional communicator. There is a lot in Amplify, and I have actually tried to distill some of those questions over the years, but I cannot remove any one of them. Each one is essential.
Yeah, that really makes a lot of sense, listening to you say that. It was also a phase where what we were doing was, I think the word we was testing, we were really testing the vision and seeing how it would respond to a number of questions, including some very real, tangible, real world questions that you posed, including one on immigration. And we had a great discussion about that. And what was really interesting for me was that, as you say, Marianne, we were not only thinking about what the vision and its words would mean to other people and how they might respond. It also was the moment, I think, where we started to bring the vision down from the sky, from its conceptual being up there in the clouds a little bit abstract, and through those conversations where together we imagined how other people would react, it started to feel as if the vision were becoming more real, more granular, to use one of the great words that you had suggested, that we were grounding it. We were grounding the vision in our conversation, but perhaps in the real world, or at least how we imagined the real world would be in the first conversations about the vision, the first conversations with the people we hoped would support us. And that was really helpful. That whole process was really, really helpful, because I remember in Toronto feeling that the whole vision was just so vast.
It is vast. Your vision is vast.
Yeah, it almost absurdly vast, to the point where you think, well, how could I possibly act upon this? But then going through Amplify, it felt as if we were grounding it, and I could start to get my arms, my hands around it and get a grip on it in some way, and start to imagine how the vision might respond to some very real world questions. And that felt good. That felt right.
And given how vast and all-encompassing your vision is and was then, as you were trying to get your arms around it in terms of, where do I start? How do I do this? How did it feel? What difference did it make when you did start to ground it?
I'm going to go back to this image, this strange image, mysterious image, but a beautiful one as well, which I mentioned during the Amplify conversation, where as we came towards the end and we'd had all of these conversations where we imagined sitting down with people, real people who would listen, but maybe not understand or reject or feel indifferent or would question the vision in some way. We were taking nothing for granted, far from it. And there was this strange moment where I suddenly started imagining a woman's face in just inside my own mind, in my own imagination, somebody that I was having a conversation with. And that felt very good. It was just, felt like a signal from somewhere that this was becoming more real. That felt very comforting to have this kindly, yeah, ooh, generous face who was listening and who was there.
Oh, how beautiful!
No idea where this face came from, but
not someone you recognize.
No, not somebody I recognized. But that was a great symbol of I think what was happening.
Putting a face on it, literally. And that's interesting because that happened, as I recall, Jonathan, toward the end of Amplify, and yet it was somewhere only in the middle, not even at the beginning, where you couldn't put a face on it. I remember we spoke about your inner circle and your political connections, and you were adamant that you couldn't go to them. Mm-hmm. But putting a face on it, and a kindly one, an encouraging one, that made a difference.
It did, and you've raised a really interesting point there, which is one of the most difficult aspects for me, at least. I don't know if other people would feel the same, but for me, one of the most challenging parts of the entire process was this permanent tension between the very, very personal and intimate vision that you are trying to build within your own mind, within your own imagination, and then on the other hand, the real world, which is out there, and the people that you know and love, family, friends, colleagues, where at some point you bring them in. And that's a really difficult moment, because paradoxically, it's easy to talk about, or I find it easy to talk about very personal, intimate things in this setting with you, because you're the only person that can get damaged in any way, for want of a better word.
You know, damaged. Oh, interesting. I thought you were going to say I'm the only one listening, but yeah, that's not true.
That maybe that as well. That as well. That's also possible. But yeah, you take responsibility for yourself, and you're not engaging anybody else. You're not responsible for anybody else. And then when you start to imagine other people, real people who would help, or you hope would help, it gets a bit sticky, because I had difficult questions popping up in my head, but I haven't talked to these people, and you have to find a way of dealing with that. I took the obvious way, which is simply not to give any names, one or two, but in ways which were not revealing their identity. I certainly saw the faces, but I felt it would have been wrong to go beyond that.
And yet when you reached the question on plan, what's your plan, which was in Amplify, you laid it out in terms of all of those concentric circles, or circles within your network, step by step by step.
Yeah, at that point, when we got to Amplify, when we got to Unify, the final phase, then I was ready and felt that I could, at the very least, talk about these groups.
Good. Yeah.
In a very strategic way, in a very concise clearly defined way, and that felt fine. Again, I wasn't naming anybody particular, so I was, you know, protecting them.
No, but
them.
You were willing. You expressed a willingness to speak to them when,
yes,
at the right time,
sure,
in the right sequence.
Yeah.
Whereas initially, you didn't seem willing. So, and that's so understandable, Jonathan, because you again had surfaced this massive vision, and you had to sit with it yourself. You had to, even as we move through Amplify, having completed Illuminate, through Amplify, you were getting a better sense of what it is and what it could be, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yep.
So it's when you are really clear on what your vision is, truly turning it inside out at times and looking at it from different perspectives, that you can step forth.
Yes.
And convey it and defend it if necessary, but certainly to express it.
Yep. That's right. I mean, there's one of the, I think it's the last part of the guidelines card, where we are encouraging ourselves not to judge the validity or the viability of the vision. The validity part is easier, because the vision has come from an intimate place from within us, so we trust it. It's at some point it's become part of who we are. That's normal when it's a very personal vision. So the validity ceases to be an issue, but you still have the question of viability, and that's where the brain will kick in and say, "Are you sure? This sounds great, but is it really viable?"
Yeah.
And again, that's where. That's where the whole Amplify stage was really helping me to overcome the question of viability, I think.
That's excellent. But I don't want you to undermine yourself on being willing to even hold that vision. That takes a lot. You said, you know, the validity of the vision felt right, but you still could have chosen to say, oh yeah, it may be part of me, it may not be part of me, it's my choice. But you chose to integrate it so that it did become part of you. And I laud you for that, Jonathan. That's where, if you recall, when I approached you about participating in this, and we had a conversation, and then you responded, I believe by email with this, telling me, "It sounds great, but Marianne, I'm not a leader." Do you remember that?
Yeah.
So when we see what could be that isn't yet, we can see it and just see it. But if it is intolerable to know that it persists when you see something that could be better, then it's incumbent on us to act on it. But that takes leadership. So if you think of yourself coming in as a non-leader, how do you feel now that you've completed this? How does your leader, how do you feel as a leader? No?
Well, you touched on a really, really important point there, which is when you have seen something that's intolerable, and we use that word from very early on in the process, and it was a great word.
You didn't like that word initially, did you?
I think it was on one of the early cards, and
yeah.
I remember I remember feeling the harsh aspects of that word, but then as we went through the Illuminate phase in particular, where we were surfacing the vision, I started to realize how necessary it was. When you're the end point that you arrive at or want to arrive at is where you, in the words of the vision, when you need to make a break with the past, when you have to break away. I think it was also heavily influenced by what was happening in the real world, which is mm-hmm. right and proper. We didn't lock ourselves away in a cell for 3 months. We were continuing to.
Well, and that's because you are engaged in the world.
Right, right.
Not everybody is.
Right, you know, right.
Both in your reading and writing and following the news.
Sure. And it did have a big effect on me. There was certainly, I remember feeling in December, just before Christmas, so when we were finishing the Toronto
tour.
Yeah.
Leg of the tour.
Yes.
Yeah.
Really starting to feel deeply, deeply worried about what was happening in Europe and America.
Yeah. And again, you wouldn't be someone who wants to make things better if you didn't see what is, if you didn't clearly see what is, right? It's easy to close eyes to it and distract ourselves with, you know, pleasures, pursuits. But when you see what is, mm-hmm. It's pretty much impossible to close your eyes to it. So again, you have a choice of acting or not acting.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. It's exactly that. Exactly that. And then the question of leadership, well, in Toronto, you said something which was very encouraging for me, for somebody who didn't consider himself to be a leader.
Ever?
That's a tricky question. No, there are times when I have wanted to be a leader in some way, perhaps on a smaller scale. And I hope that at times I have managed to do that in some small way.
I'm sure your friends and family would say you absolutely have.
I hope so. But certainly seeing oneself as a leader is perhaps a different question. But you said something great in Toronto, which really struck a chord, and I would say this as somebody who has loved and spent a lot of time with language, both professionally and at home, either writing or reading. And you said leadership begins with language. Language is the beginning of that. And I took huge encouragement from that. And it helped me to see that if you have seen something which is intolerable, if you feel that you have to act, then act is what you must do. And if it's something that nobody else has seen yet, or doesn't see it with your eyes, doesn't see it in the same way as you, then you still have to act, but it will be perhaps a lonely endeavor to begin with. And then you are where you are, with your vision looking for support, which takes us to this process. And if that's the beginning of leadership in some way, or a vital part of it, then I do feel that I've given myself fully to that part of the process and been very truthful to the vision which surfaced within me. I've sensed energy growing throughout the process, with doubts as well. That's normal, because it's a demanding process with many difficult questions as well. But I have felt energy growing and confidence growing. And above all, to come back to your words, Marianne, if you have seen something which is just intolerable and you feel that you have to act, then act you must. It's as simple as that.
And when, I would add another dimension of that, when you know it is true to you and aligned with you and your values.
Absolutely. And that's something that gave me comfort as well. I remember scribbling in my notes, I think just last week, when we were perhaps already in the unify phase. I remember scribbling that there were two relationships that the leader would always have, perhaps the two most intimate relationships. One is with the collective. So that the people around you, the first group of people around you who give you support. And that collective, it seems to me that collective will always be absolutely precious and necessary, vital. So that's the first relationship, the collective.
Which also means you're not alone.
Precisely. And then the second relationship, and perhaps I say this somebody who enjoys writing, is it's the relationship between the leader and the vision. The relationship between the leader and the text, the language of the vision. And I think I say that because it comes back to what you were just saying about truth. When you're surfacing the vision, you are digging down into some truth about yourself. It's a truth about the world. It's a truth about how you see the world. But at the most intimate level, you are getting to some truth about yourself. Which I think I feel that that first phase that we went through together in London, the Illuminate phase, was incredibly powerful at times for precisely that reason, that together as a group around the kitchen table, we were working our way through conversation to this truth. And yes, it was my truth. And at times a very personal and an intimate truth, but I could not have done that without you and the others around the table. And that was the power of conversation. I think also the rigor and the value of Illumify, the method, that it helped us to get to that destination.
And yet it was you, wasn't it? It came from you. We helped you, of course, surface it by questioning and by your, first of all, your answering the questions in the cards, which then led to more questions and digging and excavating and challenging. And and at some point, Jonathan, you knew that vision was true.
Mm.
It was your vision.
Yeah.
Completely aligned with you.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
That's it. It's really such a privilege to do this work and to be of service to those who are here to ignite some meaningful change, because I never know what that is. And change, even meaningful change, can be a relative thing. I mean, in your case, your vision is massive. It will affect, it does affect all kinds of issues and dimensions of how we live together, and will truly change the way that we live right now, because you're going to help us see a different way. And so it's been such a privilege watching you surface that and then watching you step through all of the, I was going to say mud piles, you know, even when it's clear that there are still things to excavate and to test its depths and its breadth and to make sure it's really a good fit for you, and then make sure you can fit it to others as well, that it is that. And when you can't see the others initially, that in itself is a challenge. So when I ask you if you feel like a leader now, in hindsight now, even having finished last week and having had almost a week to digest, do you feel like a leader today?
I've said this to you before, Marianne. I'll meet you halfway. I feel I feel that I have some of the things that will be required, without doubt, not least because you've given me part of the courage to do that. And certainly a willingness to do what it takes. Again, we come back to the intolerable. If we have to act in whatever way it is, and we are driven forward by our vision, our personal vision, then we are where we are. And if that demands, this is the question, if that demands leadership, if the vision demands leadership, then there we go.
Well, that brings us right back to what is leadership? And when we define it as meaningfully challenging the status quo or meaningfully resisting challenges to the status quo when it serves. So from that perspective, Jonathan, and when you said earlier that leadership begins with language, it absolutely does. Leadership emerges through our language, through the words that we say, the declarations we make that speak to what is and what could be. And it's then made credible, our leadership, through our actions, the ones that we invoke. So here's where I wanted to come to on that question, which is, first of all, to say once again, leadership is not for the faint of heart. You're challenging the status quo. And if you are a leader with respect to a vision, for example, where you do lead that initiative of change, that makes you a leader in that scenario. But that doesn't make you a leader in every other aspect of your life. That would be exhausting. We do not want to be leaders every day in every way, because that would be a lot of challenging and resistance and dealing with all of that. So leadership is situational. But here's where I want to draw a distinction. There is a difference between leadership emergence, when you yourself, as you've done through this process, begin to see yourself as a leader where you did not, and where others start to recognize leadership in you based on what you're saying, perhaps doing. So leadership emergence is one thing. Leadership effectiveness is quite another. And what is by design in the Illumify Game Changer and in the Illumify method on which it is based is everything you need to be able to express in terms of words and actions to make you effective as a leader. You haven't applied it yet. So it wasn't really a fair question for me to say, are you a leader yet? But what happens, and I'm sure you can sadly validate this through political experience, when people emerge as leaders, we can give them our trust. We vote for them, for example. And then when they prove to be totally ineffective or marginally ineffective, that trust we give them starts to erode. So we are so accustomed to leaders emerging, but sadly not proving effective.
Yeah, that everything you say there makes a lot of sense. And if I go back to the final phase, the unify phase, where we were very quickly becoming very strategic about the vision and how to express it, how to begin to communicate it, how to bring it out into the world to a wider, and we hope wider and wider audience, then, as you say, Marianne, we were not actually testing this out there in the real world. There was no practice run here.
We were a focus group of sorts.
We were still sitting around the same kitchen table, not the same.
Well,
but
I think we've had dimensions. Four at this point.
Yeah, it was our fourth.
We're at another
table.
One today. Yeah.
But we were still in the world of imagination and conversation, but And I'm saying this to meet you halfway here about the question of effectiveness. There were a lot of very rigorous questions in that final section about what would be needed from me to provide energy, direction, clarity, first of all, to the collective and then beyond that, this great idea of the leader setting the pace throughout the whole process. And the only thing I can say now, but it felt very true then and it feels very true now, is that that whole endeavor and the strategic nature of it, where I was feeling at home again in the world of strategy and seeing the landscape and starting to organize activity in my own mind in time and space into the future, felt very good.
And did it feel tangible?
Very much so.
Yeah.
Very much so. It really did. Those whole series of questions about the effectiveness of leadership, I think were very helpful. And certainly I felt a great sense of clarity in my own mind about what needed to be done, particularly in those first stages, the first weeks, as we described them.
Yeah. And Jonathan, you do know it doesn't stop here. You have the cards, you have the questions, you have the methodology. So as you begin to ignite your change, use it. Go back to it. And as we spoke even during this game changer, even though we were perhaps in Amplify and you're answering an Amplify question, you were also illuminating something. It's non-linear, just even though three phases, sometimes they're concurrent. So when you're unifying, you may need to illuminate a little bit more. You will know, but apply the methodology. You even have templates. You're a professional communicator, but if these things can help you, please do use them.
Absolutely.
They're there for you,
yeah.
And as am I. So if you reach out, I know there will be an ocean between us.
Mm-hmm.
Sadly, until I get my place in Copenhagen, I'm working on it.
Yeah.
But do reach out. I'm here for any counsel that you may.
Thank you.
That's, require, and I absolutely want to follow you,
yeah.
And will be observing with open heart and a kindly face. Maybe that woman could be my face. No, that would be haunting. But if you think of me, as encouraging you, because you are fully equipped now to do this.
Mm.
And our world needs your vision. It needs it. And you yourself have said it won't happen overnight.
Mm.
No change does. There's a process around change. There's a continuum. There's the resistance. And I'll say again, the more significant your change, the more resistance it will get. So if times get tough, know that. That gives me comfort personally, maybe because I'm a little bit of a masochist. But know that you're on the right track when the forces that want to preserve and protect what you know is intolerable push back in whatever way they can. So change as a leader, leading change, takes fortitude, persistence, perseverance, takes a lot. You have it, though, in spades. And I've seen the transformation in you with such joy. And so a couple last questions, if I may.
Please.
Do you personally feel different today?
I do. I do. This has been one of the most intense projects I've ever worked on and been part of. It's very hard. It's very hard to describe it unless you've been inside it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It really is unique. I've really done nothing like this before. Nothing as intense as this. And I do feel changed in good ways. Not only because we found the vision, and I found that within me, and managed to surface that with your help. But this is something else I wanted to say briefly about the process itself, and I'm going to come back to it now because it's so important, and it's a deep, deep part of the vision itself as well, and that's the power of conversation. These have been some of the best conversations I've ever had, because they were honest, they were unflinching on all sides, they were driven by a pursuit of the truth. We wouldn't let go at certain moments until we had got to some version of the truth, even if it was partial and not fully clear. That's what drove us on. So the power of conversation at the heart of this is so important. So yes, I do feel changed. And to go back, Marianne, to what you were saying before, I will certainly seek guidance from you in the future, I'm sure. And also out of a deep sense of gratitude, because yes, this is my vision. I surfaced it through your process, but I wouldn't be here doing this if you had not invited me to do it. So I'm deeply, deeply grateful for that. You have been, you and I have often struggled to find the right words, and I'm going to struggle to do that now, but
you, Mr. Wordsmith.
Yeah. No, it's... I'll come back to you on that. All I'll say, rather than trying to find the perfect word, is that I could not have done this without your invitation and your support. So I'm deeply grateful for that. Thank you.
Thank you. And I am deeply grateful in return, because as you've said, these are rigorous conversations, robust, intense, for sure. And as you came into this, Jonathan, and I remember kind of smiling, one of the early cards, you talked about loving conversation. Mm. And you do. You personally, specifically, love conversation. And I think we cautioned you that this wasn't just about loving conversation, right? Because the conversations are with you to a purpose, a very particular purpose. And as you just expressed yourself, talking about the truth and how sometimes you get part of the truth, and there was frustration on your part, I'm sure, on my part at times. My frustration was when I could see you getting close and then you would just resist. It was right there. And so I have to just hold space for you. And sure enough, you'd come back the next day and you would push right through. But, you know, we all have our limits, even when it comes to conversation and the demands of conversation. Given that you've been through this and you know now what this is, and you you said you haven't done anything like this before, is there anything you can compare it to so that others can understand for themselves what this experience is?
That's really hard to find a comparison. Somebody looking at it from the outside, looking at the different parts of it, the different parts of the method, might say, well, this sounds a bit like sounds a bit like coaching. So is this is coaching, isn't it? Some form of coaching. I have friends who do wonderful work in the field of coaching. My sense, this is not it. This is not fundamentally what this is about. And I suspect at times far from it. And it's perhaps also, Marianne, why I'm struggling to find the one perfect word that does fit what you have done here. Because I know how much research and thinking you did building the methodology, the whole structure of the method before you'd even got started. I know the huge, huge amount of work went into this. And I've seen the value of that. I feel that in the rigor and the logic and the very careful sequencing of the questions through the three faces. I sense all of that. But it is damned hard to put one perfect word.
Welcome to my world, Jonathan.
To capture. And yeah. That's fine. You know, sometimes it's good to avoid. Sometimes we don't need to find one perfect word. Sometimes it's better just to unpack it and describe what it is. It's certainly not coaching. I think it's much more than that, if I'm honest. It's certainly not therapy. That was a joke we shared at the beginning, but is rightly, you spell it out at the beginning. It's not that. And I think that's important for anybody to know that it's not that. And it's certainly so much more. I mean, this is why, Marianne, this is why I'm hesitating to find a word. It's your role is so much more than facilitating, prompting. Not least because you have put so much time and work into designing the method in the first place, but also you are, and this is interesting, you are an active, a very active participant in all of the conversations. And you find your own contribution and your own balance, your own place within that. So we're dealing with something which is, as you rightly said, it's much more about conversation as well, because the rigor and the testing of the questions, these are some of these questions are really hard. And as you know, I did this deliberately not to look at the cards beforehand, so that I could really live up to the guideline and respect the guideline of answering from my heart. And I thought, well, I'm not going to look at the cards. I'm not going to prepare. So what do you end up with? You end up with a form of conversation which is incredibly demanding and rigorous and testing, but which is so much more than conversation, because you're actually answering a very specific question and a very tough question. So that leads you to the word exam. Is this a form of examination? And are you an examiner? Marianne, that feels very harsh and scholarly. And again, it's an examiner.
It
doesn't really get to the heart of what's going. But there is something very, very demanding and rigorous about this. And I hope that's come through in the recordings, because it was hard, and it was rightfully hard at times to even to begin to find an answer. So lots of big words here about the method, your role within it, and I'm struggling to find one overarching theme or word that captures it all. I think there's a lot going on.
I'm intrigued with your word exam. Mm. Actually, at first that I recoiled a little bit, because when you write an exam or administer an exam, someone holds the answers. And in this case, that's absolutely not true. The examiner doesn't hold the answers, you do. Yeah. The participant does. But in a way, as I play with that word, it's a form of self-examination. with view to transcending any limits you have put on yourself, unknowingly perhaps. Because there is, in my experience with various participants, there is a level of transformation that happens. People tell me they come into the game changer one way and emerge another. But that is because of the, you know, the self-examined life to whatever degree. And conversations, as much as we both love them, in and of themselves do not do that. Often we leave a conversation with the same perspective, maybe heightened a little bit, but same vantage point as we go in, because we're coming in with a set of beliefs or whatever. In this, we challenge a lot of that. So the you enter a conversation at one point and leave at another and may not be the same when the that conversation ends, that individual conversation.
Yeah. Yeah, I would agree with all of that. I would agree with all of that. I think there's something about in just the sheer intensity of it now. I'm drawn to just the physicality of what we've done at times. I don't know. We've talked a lot about writing and how people write and why they write. I know that when I write, my head is very much down towards the paper, staring at the paper. Almost sort of stubbornly waiting for the next line to come. And in our conversations, I often found myself, to your point, Marianne, if it had been a relaxed, contemplative conversation, either of us or both of us would maybe have sat back, looked around the room, as we do sometimes in a bar or a cafe or a restaurant, we're relaxed. So we will make eye contact with the other person, of course, but then our minds are looking for the right word. We get distracted. So it's a normal thing as well as part of relaxation, not to be permanently fixed on the other person, but to look around. But I remember for long, long periods in the Illumify method, through all three phrases, really being close to the microphone as I am now and not really looking anywhere else, sometimes closing my eyes. So it's taking me back to the act of writing, where just the sheer act of imagination, the need to find an answer which was not there and which you were going to have to draw up from God knows where, that was really, really intense. And that's really hard to capture. The idea that some part of what we were doing was an act and a collective act of imagination sounds a little bit crazy, but I think it's true. I think it's true. We talked a lot, particularly in that first phase in London, Illuminate, we talked a lot about digging. And that's exactly what we're doing. And that was hard. It was an act of imagination. So to take part together around a kitchen table in a collective act of imagination, live second by second, is really special. And again, I don't think I've done anything like that before.
I love that. Thank you, Jonathan. And it strikes me as you're saying that perhaps each card with its question is like a blank page on which you write.
It really did feel like that at times, that the cards are there to help you. They're a prompt, but actually sometimes the questions were so vast and so difficult. I can't remember them off the top of my head now, but I think particularly in the Illuminate phase, the first phase where you're digging and digging and digging to get to the vision and then to try and bring it to the surface intact. I think there were many questions in that phase that I had perhaps never really asked myself, and certainly questions which had not come up in normal conversations with friends or colleagues.
One of the questions in Illuminate, if you recall, is what brings you joy? And whenever I've had a small group, I used to do this as a kind of a test experience for them, because again, as you said, it's hard to put words around what this is. So I would invite 6 or 8 people to play one card together, and that would be the card I would typically choose. And usually these were virtual groups, and inevitably each individual would begin with, what brings me joy? A walk in the woods. And then we'd move them up. And even in one conversation, say 2.5 hours for 6 or 8 people to answer the question for themselves, it was always amazing to see what would surface for themselves. And I watched as over those years, some would embrace it and want to do more, but others would get a glimpse of whatever that was for them not being their current reality. And instead of looking at how they could make it be, they ran in resistance. And it's always a choice, but a seemingly simple question like, what brings you joy? What fuels your soul with joy? Can be a stop for some people. And it wasn't for you.
No. And that was thanks again to the trust that we had and that we'd built up together before we even started the Game Changer.
So do you trust me more now?
Yeah.
Oh, good.
Sure. Trust grows.
Trust is a very valuable thing. It's between, critical. And as we've spoken of, you have to earn it.
Yeah. Yes, it comes with time. It takes time.
Yeah. And when we are each who we are, fully who we are, there's a lot for trust to build on, isn't there?
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
So, Jonathan, I do have 2 more questions.
Yes.
One is, what next?
What next?
I do want to share, because I was so delighted to get your email.
Tell
us who you shared your vision with.
Yeah.
Because you've been keeping it under wraps from your partner.
That's right. This morning, I was walking our little dog, Cassie.
What breed? Give us a picture.
She's a Pomeranian, a ball of fluff, a fox, a teddy bear, a baby seal, and a dog.
And what color? That's
sort
quite
of
a mix, by the way.
Sort of a red mix of red and brown. And the only sign of her age, she's 12 now, is the white, which has gradually spread around her nose and mouth. Apart from that, you wouldn't know. She's full of energy. And all of our neighbors are surprised to find out that she's 12 years old.
Yeah, that's amazing. You're taking good care of her.
We try. She's precious. We try. I was walking her this morning, knowing that that you and I were going to meet again this evening, and I rehearsed the opening lines of the vision with her down by the water, just the two of us, and she seemed quite happy.
Did she wag her tail?
She did. She did. But that's because I'd just given her a treat. So.
Oh, you paid her to be your audience, did you?
No, but it was...
How did it feel to say those words out loud publicly?
It felt good. And I remember you saying to me, I think on the text earlier today, it was on a similar walk towards the end of last year, when we were first starting to do this, when I first heard this, we talked about mantras, how mantras would pop into our head. We weren't sure where from. Some part of ourselves that was sending us a message about the state of the ship from the captain's deck somewhere within our own mind. And the mantra back in the autumn was, I've got something to say. I have something to say. And that just stayed with me for a while. And it was on the walks with Cassie that those mantras would come into my mind. I've got something to say. So it felt
and
proper.
Today you said it to her.
Yeah. So it was
You've come full circle.
Absolutely, with Cassie. So I'm glad that she was there.
That's wonderful. Can you share your vision with us again, please?
Yes. Let me give you the short version.
Okay. Although I do like the longer one too. Don't,
well.
At the right.
Yeah.
Opportune moments.
Let me give you the short one.
Okay.
My vision is simply this, that today we break with the past and stand together on new ground. And on that new ground, let us build a shared home where all of us are welcome and all of us belong.
Beautiful, thank you. Okay, here is my last question, I promise. So now, having experienced this, would you recommend it? And if so, to whom would you? Do you believe this would be a valuable experience? And you don't have to put a name on them,
no,
just a type or a...
I have no hesitation at all that I would recommend this to all of my closest circle of friends and former colleagues. And the reason I would do that is because what I've seen, Marianne, what you have allowed me to see is, it doesn't matter who you are or where you are exactly in your life right now. In some ways, that's the whole beauty and the power of your method, Illumify, that it's there for anybody to discover and surface and express their vision. Whether they in turn become leaders is, we will leave that aside. I can think of many of my colleagues over the years who are clearly leaders, I think, and who have proved themselves to be leaders. But I would not confine it to them. You know, I think of the people I love, the people I've worked with, but also people who are simply friends. And I know the huge amount of value, and I'm going to use your word, Marianne, because I think you've found the best one this afternoon, which is self-examination, the examination of the self. And I can see my closest friends and former colleagues who I know are very open to the idea of self-examination. And I think they would get enormous value from this. So I would recommend it to all of those people without any hesitation.
Thank you, Jonathan. That means a tremendous amount. Thank you. And thank you again for participating so fully in this Illumify Game Changer. And I'm going to end this season now, as we're a season, with my declaration to anyone listening, and to you in particular. You matter. Step up, speak up, And together, let's ignite meaningful change. Thank you.
Thank you.
We've used the word change countless times in these conversations, usually with the adjective meaningful affixed. But as I re-listen to this conversation, I'm reminded of how change can indicate so many things. It's a relative term. When something differs, even slightly, we can call it change. The kind of change that comes with leadership, though, is different. What leaders do is meaningfully challenge the status quo to create what could be, should be, or must be. The word meaningful indicates a lot. It's significant. In this conversation, though, Jonathan spoke about another degree of change, transformation. He sees that he's different now. He has greater confidence and clarity, and he sees himself as a leader. He's ready and willing to act to ignite his vast vision of change. For my part, it was reassuring that such a master of language struggled to find the words to describe the Illumify game changer. The closest I came was to calling it a game changer, which I hope you'll agree it is. It's because it's been a challenge finding the words to capture this that it's one of the reasons I wanted to create this podcast. By experiencing it through Jonathan, you'll now know what it is and perhaps choose to experience it for yourself. The closest description Jonathan came up with is self-examination. And that's good, because it all does come from within the self. Yes, as Jonathan said, I was a participant in these conversations, as were members of my team. My role, though, was to help him surface what is within. The insights were all his. As they emerged through these conversations, he knew them to be true and knows it still. Each of us is distinct, and the change that we can see, therefore, that matters to us but serves something beyond ourselves, can also be distinct. I've long believed that we can each contribute something meaningful to this world. And as I said, it's a privilege doing this work to help surface and illumify it. It's what I love to do best. The leader's journey does still continue. Jonathan's journey here has ended, but the one he'll take to actually ignite his vision is just beginning. Thank you for listening. I'll say one last time again. You matter. Step up. Speak up, and together, let's ignite meaningful change. If listening to this Illumify Game Changer podcast is of value to you, please like it on this platform and share it with those who could ignite meaningful change. It's here, as am I, to be of service. I'm Marianne Gobet. Thank you for accompanying us on the Leader's Journey. To fully experience the passage to igniting meaningful change, subscribe to the Illumify Game Changer podcast. To learn more about the Illumify Game Changer and how to embark on your own leader's journey, please visit Illumify's website at illumifyinstitute.com. You matter. Step up. Speak up. Together, let's ignite meaningful change.